you get a message like that, that is an angel message. An angel message, he said, is the Christ speaking to you. So everything necessary to make that happen will come into your experience. And I absolutely believed him. I accepted him, accepted that. That was May, and his class was in August. The same week, four of my children were accepted as pupils at a school for Christian Scientists in England. I was told that they would all need three sets of sheets each, bedclothes, six sets of towels, dressing gowns, pajamas, their uniforms, their everything. Oh my goodness. It just seemed absolutely impossible for us to even meet that. Never mind think about me trying to go to New York. But boy, I was praying about it. I was really praying, and my teacher was sending me some really encouraging letters. So I just kept my mind open to the truth. And a practitioner in London had said to me once, open your thought, dear, and your old body will just have to follow. So I thought, well, I'd better open my thought about this. But the week before I was to fly, I had provisionally booked a ticket. And the week before I was to fly, there was no sign of any money coming for this trip. And the pressures for school and all the things that my children needed were just getting greater and greater. And so I said to my husband, you know, I think that I better not go this year. I think that I'll send my teacher a telegram and say I'll think about it next year, but not this year. It just seemed to be too much. But my husband had planned a camping holiday for him and the children in England, and he very much wanted to go to that. And he was going to take them there so as people wouldn't know that I was away for class. So he said to me, well, there must be something that we could do. And he remembered that he had an insurance policy. And he said, well, I'll take it down to the office and see if I can cash it in. And he came back and he told me that the man said, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, but this needs to go to our London office and it takes about 6 weeks. And my husband said, well, we don't have 6 weeks. She's going in a week. And the man said, I'm sorry, it's not in my hands. And my husband said this most surprising thing to me, because he was anti-Christian Science. And he said to me, well, I just said to myself, mister, it was never in your hands. And he came home and he told me this, and just at that the telephone rang, and it was this insurance company. They said, we rang the head office and you can have the money tomorrow. And I got the money for the ticket. There was just the money for the ticket. There was $100 for class, and there was $100 left for me. And I had nowhere to stay. And $100, as you know, is not a lot of money. So my husband said, do you mean you're going to go to New York and you don't know where you're going to stay and you've only got $100? I said, I believe that God takes us all the way. So yes, I'm going. I'm getting on that plane. So I went and I got on the plane, and as soon as I was up there, I just knew God was taking care of everything. I got off the plane and there was an announcement, would I please go to the desk in New York. This man met me. He said, my teacher told me to come and meet you. He said, I have to take you to this apartment where you're going to stay. And he told me I have to stop off and buy you some groceries. This man paid the taxi. He went to the grocery store with me and we filled up a big trolley. He said, the lady that you're staying with is on holiday and she won't be here for a few days. He insisted on paying for all the groceries. I got to this most gorgeous apartment. I was sinking in pink rugs and antique lamps, and I just couldn't believe it. It was right in the middle of Manhattan, and the view, And I just got through the door. My eyes were everywhere, and the telephone went. It was my teacher, and he said, "I'm sorry, that's the best I could do." And then he said, "You know, you must have been really praying." He said, "I'm going to tell you something. The woman who owns this apartment is a friend of mine. And for years, she has helped me to find places for my students. But she always said to me, 'Bill, never ask me to put anybody up. I don't like people staying in my apartment.'" So he had asked her about me, and she tried all her friends, and they were either away or having visitors or whatever. He said, "We couldn't find a place for you, and you were in the air." And my wife said to me, "What about that Irish woman?" I said, "I don't know. She's in the air, and I don't know where she's going to go, and I don't think she's got much money." And he said, the telephone rang, and it was this woman whose name was Ruth. She said, "I've just been thinking about the Irish woman. Did you find a place for her?" And he said, "No." And she said, "Well, Bill, she can stay in my apartment. I'm going to break my own rule because I want to do something for the Irish." She said, "They're having such a hard time." And she was on holiday in Long Island. And this was Friday that I arrived. And she said she would come on Sunday. So I stayed in this apartment. All their friends, one caught me up for breakfast. "Would you have breakfast at 6 a.m.?" I couldn't. 6 a.m.? Nobody does that in Ireland. 6 a.m. breakfast. Somebody took me for lunch. Somebody took me for dinner. And when this woman came, we just fell in love with each other. We just loved each other. She got up every morning. She made me my breakfast. And I would go off to class. In class, everybody fought over who would buy me lunch every day. You bought it the day before and you bought it. They bought me taxis. They spoiled me. I couldn't spend money. I still have my $100 in my purse, and I just couldn't spend money. And in the afternoon, we would go to the reading room, and I would come back, and she would say to me, "Right, go in there and do your homework. Come out at 6, and we watch the news. And we'll talk, and then you can get back to your homework." And I did that every day for those 2 weeks. She and I would talk for about an hour and have fun and talk about Ireland and all sorts of things. And then I would get back to my homework. And this went on for the whole 2 weeks. And I had told her about my friends. My children had been accepted for Claremont School and all the things that they needed and so forth. At the end of 2 weeks, my teacher said to me, "Well, you've come this far. There's another week on your ticket. You'll have to go to Boston." He said, "I have a friend there who will put you up, and she will meet you." So I went to Boston. The man who met me at the airport bought me a train ticket to go there, first class train ticket. This girl met me in Boston. She said, "The girl in the apartment next door to me is on holiday. She said, you can use her apartment." And this young woman brought me every day into the mother church. She took me to see all Mrs. Eddy's houses. She gave me dinner every night. People at the mother church were buying me lunch. I still had my $100. And when I came back to New York, my friend had a party for me, a shower, you call it. She told all her friends, and they all came with sheets, pillowcases, pajamas, dressing gowns. I had to borrow 2 suitcases to go home. And I went home with $98. Now, that was some angel that I traveled with, wasn't it? This angel thought that my teacher recognized and put his foot on immediately. He said, "If you get a message like that, that's an angel message. That is the Christ speaking to you, and you should act upon it." And I acted upon it, and look at the barriers that broke down for me. The impossibility of ever coming to America, I thought that was impossible to me. When I came to New York, it seemed to me like a big concrete jungle. And I was terrified of it. All the sirens and the big tall buildings. And You felt like a little ant. But I stayed in such a lovely place and met such lovely people that I saw it was like broken up into villages. And I began to be able to accept that. And you know, I was in Boston 3 times in 2 years and everything was paid for. These are the angels that were at work in my life. So many of them, I could write books about it, volumes. There just isn't enough time to tell you them all. Another time when my angels helped me was when my eldest son had to go and live in London. He worked for a very famous men's outfitters in Britain. He worked in their store in Belfast. He decided that he wanted to quit school, although he was doing very well at it, and that he wanted to earn money. And this shop was bombed 3 times, and in the end they closed it, and they asked David if he would like to go to London to their store in Regent Street. And he wanted to do that because